The problem that we're addressing in this podcast is, how does one learn who they really are inside? How does one really get to know themselves? How do you get comfortable with your own views? How do you be comfortable with being yourself? And how do you let your true self emerge to become the real you? At least twice a day, we recite the words, "Velo taturu ahare levavchem, vahare enechem, asher atem zonim aharehem." And you shall not wander after your hearts and after your eyes, that you are straying after them. The Netziv brings to our attention a deeper meaning of this pasuk. Why does the pasuk use the word taturu, which comes from the root word spying, looking for something new or wandering? It would be more appropriate to say instead, "Velo telechu achare levavchem," and don't go after your hearts. Our rabbis wanted to bury King Solomon's Kohelet, for it seemed to contradict the Torah until they reconciled each apparently conflicting verse. Rabbi Yishmael asks, if there may be a contradiction to these words of Shema, not to wander after your heart, in the words of Kohelet, "Simach bachur beyaldutecha v'halech bedarche libecha," rejoice, lad, in your youth, and go in the way of your heart. But Rabbi Yishmael reconciled the difference by focusing on the precision of the words. Go after your heart, but don't taturu, or wander after your heart. What is the difference between going after your heart or wandering after your heart? Going after your heart would mean following what you connect to, looking inward. Taturu, wandering after your heart, would mean looking outward at what everyone else is doing. Rabbi Omer, Ezuhi derech yeshara, shiyibor lo ha'adam, kol shehi tiferet le'oseha v'tiferet lo min ha'adam. The most beautiful you is when you are following what you really connect to, something internal, or min ha'adam. The Torah is telling us in the words lo taturu to be yourself. Be original. Life is limited. Don't waste time trying to be someone else. The Netziv expounds on why this concept of being yourself is mentioned next to the laws of tzitzit strings. Tzitzit strings are the reminder to the 613 mitzvot, and each person has a mitzvah that he connects to. The Talmud brings a list of rabbis where each rabbi mentioned that his Olam Haba would come from a specific mitzvah that he connected to and took very seriously. Tzitzit, Shabbat, there's a long list in Shabbat on page 118b. The Ritva writes that each Talmid Hacham should choose one mitzvah to observe with extra special care. And even one mitzvah that you do wholeheartedly can be your winning ticket to your Olam Haba. In learning as well, connecting is extremely important. Rav said, "In Adam Lomed Torah Ela Mimakom Shelibo Chafetz." A person learns only what his heart desires, as we see in the pasuk, "Ki'im betorat Hashem chefzo." One of the greatest causes for people to leave learning, to lose its sweetness, is that for too long, they learned only parts of Torah that they did not connect to. This is because they never looked inward at what speaks to them, but only outward to what everyone else was learning. Let us take this to a drone's eye view. There are three areas in religion: white, black, and gray. White is the area of the things that you are commanded to do. Black is the area of things that you are commanded not to do. They are both chova, mandatory. The gray area, the area of reshut, is optional. It's the area where all of our spiritual dilemmas are found. Black and white are so easy. Open up the Torah and there it is. But the gray area is just not clear. How long to pray? How long to learn? How much ishtadlut and how much emunah? How much time to spend on any specific mitzvah? How much chesed should I do? For whom and in which way? What is the right balance in so many areas of life? How far beyond the letter of the law should I take my Torah observance? What should I focus on in my learning? Halakha, Agadah, Musar, character refinement? Most people solve great questions by looking around and seeing what other people are doing. But this is a huge mistake. The Chassid Ya'avat says something that can blow your mind. The hardest question for the faithful Jew to answer is Sadiq v'ra'lo, Rasha v'tovlo. Why do good things happen to bad people and why do bad things happen to good people? There are many answers to this question. Each one has its time and place. But the Chassid Ya'avat says that the answer most of the time is that a person is judged according to what he could do. You can have a tzaddik who is suffering because he can do much more than he is doing. And you can have a rasha who is rewarded greatly because for who he is, that is all that he can do. Lo taturu achare levavchem and halech achare libecha are telling us the biggest lesson in life. Go inward. Go toward your C3. Focus on what you connect to. Gauge yourself by what you can do and invest your unique character strengths. Something we learned from Navot. Navot Yisraeli had a beautiful vineyard next to King Ahav's palace. King Ahav coveted Navot's vineyard and asked Navot if he could buy it for a heavy price, or he would barter it for a much better vineyard somewhere else. But Navot refused, saying that this vineyard was a family inheritance and he did not want to part with something that was so dear to his family, no matter the price. King Ahav came home very upset and his wife, Queen Isabel, asked what was wrong. He answered her. He answered her telling how Navot had turned down his offer. Isabel then framed Navot, saying that he cursed King Ahav and the name of God. She hired false witnesses, had Navot killed, and took his vineyard for her husband. Our rabbis ask, why was Navot HaYisraeli punished in this way? Because he had a beautiful voice. He would go up to the Beit HaMikdash for the holidays and sing in God's honor. This had become such an attraction that many people made the pilgrimage just in his merit. One year, though, Navot stayed home out of fear that while he was gone, someone would loot his vineyard. His punishment was death and that his field be taken away from him. Why was Navot punished so severely for not singing in the Beit HaMikdash? Shlomo HaMelech taught, Kabed et Hashem mehonecha. Honor Hashem from your wealth. What does that mean to honor Hashem from your wealth? Our rabbis learn, Al tikri mehonecha ela mehinecha. Don't read this pasuk to mean to honor Hashem with your money. Learn it to mean that you are to honor God with what He graced you with. If He has given you a pleasant voice, honor Him with that. This sheds light on understanding our tafkid, our unique mission in this world, our calling. Focusing on others' strengths leaves us feeling weak. Focusing on our own strengths is what makes us strong. One of the greatest regrets in life is realizing that you lived a life that others wanted you to be rather than being yourself. And one of the greatest joys in life is the joy of celebrating your uniqueness, the original and authentic you. Smach bachur b'yaldutecha. Our rabbis teach that the saving grace for Kohelet is how King Solomon ends the statement. Veda ki al kol ele yivi'acha ha'elokim b'mishpat. Know that whatever you do in life, you will have to answer up to heaven that you have done your best and you have used God's gifts to serve Him. Never forget these words of King Solomon. You were born an original. Don't die a copy. The selfie steps for this podcast is C1, connect to a mitzvah. What does that mean to connect to a mitzvah? There are some mitzvot that inspire us. We feel good, we feel positive when we're doing these mitzvot. That is when you know that you're really connecting to a mitzvah. It's not a struggle. It's an intuitive understanding. It speaks to your neshama. You feel that this mitzvah Hashem gave specifically to you. It makes you feel alive when you connect to this mitzvah. You automatically have this zrizut, this wantonness and willingness to make this mitzvah happen. Selfie step 2, C2. Can do. the can-do attitude, where you realize that the things that you can do, and you do them. At first, you may not realize that you can do it, but once you try, it just goes. There's so many things out there, why spend time on things you cannot do? When you can look at a list of things that you can do and see where they can take you. You will have your own way of contributing once you focus on what you can do. If everyone has the same abilities, there would be a lot lacking. And C3, character strength. What is character strength? What is your character strength? Look around you, notice people's reactions, notice that there may be a few things that you do that generally get an overwhelming positive response on a consistent basis. You may notice how anytime you behave a certain way, it always gets the same reaction from people. Take a minute to reflect at those times. What character strength shines through, because that is going to be your guiding light. Focus on the certain qualities, strengths, and realize that no matter what environment you are in, you have the ability to utilize these character strengths because they are so much a part of who you are. I look forward to your input and insights, questions, or comments via email at rabbiyosefarhi@gmail.com. If you're enjoying these shiurim and life lessons, please let your friends know. To access these podcasts, as well as previous ones, go to my website at yosefarhi.com.